Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Billy Graham once said, "Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened." The plight of our world calls for courageous men and women, those who would see a need and fill it. I once heard someone say, "Where there is a need, there is a call." Our guests today have responded to a call that has taken them to a place far from where they were comfortable. They gave up the easy and familiar life and surroundings to do what God told them to do, even with a great deal of uncertainty. In this day in which we live, this day of turmoil and crises and strain, in this day, I believe it takes courage to live. But it takes far more courage to live for God's purpose. And get this now. Whatever the cost. We want to let you know at the beginning of our show, as we normally do, that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio show is to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our heart's desire. It's our calling. And we believe it's your destiny to hear this show and to receive what God has for you. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through at this very moment, the Lord loves you, He knows you, and He has you right here to hear what our guests have to share this very day. Keith and Cheryl Wise are in studio with me. They serve a very unique and important need in the lives of children. They're here to tell us about it and what God has done through them. Keith and Cheryl, welcome to our show.
Good afternoon, Danny.
Thank you.
Yeah, I look at you and I have, and I'm blessed because I know that you are chosen by God and used by the Lord to touch people in a very critical time. Now, where did each of you grow up and how did you guys meet?
I grew up in a little town called Ridgeville Corners, Ohio, which is between Toledo and the Indiana line. And my wife, Cheryl, grew up 7 miles away from my home and just a short distance.
So you guys basically grew up knowing each other?
No.
We went to different high schools but met up just before vocational school.
How did you guys meet?
We met up at a party.
A party?
Mm-hmm. I won't go into detail.
But it was a normal teenage party.
Yeah, how old were you guys at the time?
I was 17. 16? She was 16. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Almost 16.
Almost 16.
Mm-hmm. Met as young, blossoming teenagers. Well, tell us, okay, so you met each other. How did you get together, and how did you end up getting married?
Well, I actually met her because she was sitting on the hood of my car, and nobody sits on the hood of my car.
Mm, it was a nice car.
And after I made her get off and told her to get away from my car, she asked me to give her a ride home.
But he didn't deny that.
pretty gumptious young lady. Huh? That's interesting. But we dated for several years and got engaged and married and raised two boys. We have two biological sons in Ohio and 29
and 31 years old, soon to be 32.
Now have four grandkids.
Wow. Yeah. And what did you do for work?
I'm a heavy equipment mechanic / millwright. I worked for a large grain elevator.
What is a millwright?
A millwright is somebody that can take steel pipe and fabricate things. You can build a silo. You can build, you basically can fit anything, steel products. I could do electrical, plumbing, pretty much anything that my boss put me to work to do. But my best was heavy equipment.
So that was your work, your vocation.
Yep.
How many years did you do that?
About 25 total.
And what did you do, Cheryl, during that time?
I worked at a dental office.
Besides raising the boys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was a secretary for a dental office for 10 years.
And, you know, you're here because you can relate with parents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what it's like to go through the normal struggles of trying to balance everything in life as you're raising children. And I think that is something in and of itself that is incredibly valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes God does things in our lives that we might not have even ever thought of.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Completely outrageous, completely outside of the scope of what we thought would be.
Mm-hmm.
And did something like that happen in your life?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big.
Yeah, we talked about our two boys. We talked about our grandkids. But we just finished the adoption of our fifth Chinese daughter from mainland China. That's why we're here in Hawaii right now, is to finish her citizenship. And we finished that in actually one day while arriving here. If we went to the mainland, it could have took us months to get it accomplished.
Mm-hmm. I have to say something about what I know and what I've seen is that God does miraculous things.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of things that he does in your life. And the reason why it's so important for you to be here in the flesh, you know, sharing it, is because sometimes it seems so esoteric to hear about miraculous things happening, but they seem to be happening all the time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's confounding for people to think of conventional ways that things happen, and whether it's physiological things that take place, whether it's situational circumstances that go in the forms of different levels of leadership and authorities. The Lord seems to work in a very special and unique way in, through, with, and for you. So now you said fifth child.
Number five.
From China.
From China.
Yes. Okay, adoption's all done?
Adoption's completely finished.
Completely finished in a day. And it would have taken how long if you...
Months. It could have taken months in the States, is what we were told.
At least 2 months.
Okay. Now, obviously, we're talking about God.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about God's move. Now, just take us back a little bit, Keith and Cheryl. You knew each other as teenagers. Eventually got married several years later. How did you find the Lord? How did you become Christians?
I guess we thought we were always Christians because we grew up going to church, and we took our sons to church when they were little, and were married in a church the whole nine yards, but never realized till 1994 that we weren't saved. You know, we were only going through the motions. We were only playing the game. To me, God was a genie in a bottle. I rubbed the bottle when I needed him, and he'd pop out, and I'd pray, you know, and he'd answer my prayers, and I'd stick him back in the bottle and leave him there until I needed him again, but...
Mm-hmm.
94, I had the opportunity to go to Indianapolis, Indiana, and I attended a Promise Keepers conference, and I know most people understand what that is, large men's movement that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that weekend, I rededicated my life. I thought I rededicated my life, but I didn't. I actually dedicated my life to him. And the funny thing is, through that whole weekend, the subject was racial reconciliation. And I heard God silently tell me he was going to break my racial attitude, because I had a really bad racial attitude. And I didn't like black people, I didn't like Spanish people, and I hated the Chinese. And after I came home, my wife even wouldn't even talk to
me. I didn't know him. It was a whole new person. When he walked through that door, he was a new man, and I didn't know him. And it was difficult.
How was it difficult?
I could read him like a book. I knew his actions, what to expect, and none of that happened. It was miraculous. It was like, okay, are you sure? What did you do that weekend? Because I don't know you.
How did you process that? You know, sometimes, you know, here's the thing. Sometimes people get married. I think often people get married. They marry the person they know at that time. Mm-hmm. And then as you grow in life, you know, there are the changes that take place and the adjustments that take place. Well, perhaps I should say the changes, the adjustments cause changes because of necessity. Life just seems to press us into people. But in this case, what we're hearing is that it's not just life, not just the human experience, but God was doing something. He was superimposing his will, as it were, in a very gracious and loving way in your lives to prepare you for something else. Now, sounds like you are a pretty rough guy. And then by the laughter of it, is that to say the least?
To say the least, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Now, describe what happened inside of you, Keith.
I just really felt something that weekend that I'd never felt before. I felt a connection with God, not a one-way street, not a one-sided conversation, but I realized not only did I need him, he needed me, and he wanted me to be part of his team. And I never sensed that weekend that he was going to do something with me, but that the reason he was going to break my racial attitude was that he had a plan. But I later on figured out that he had a plan, and that's the reason he had me at that place at that time. You know, we, like you said earlier, we're here because God's put us here. I wasn't going to go to Indianapolis that weekend. Let me back up a step here. I've never worked a 40-hour-a-week job in my life. My average job was 70 hours a week, up to 100 hours a week. And I had the opportunity to work that weekend, and I didn't want to turn down the overtime, and I almost said, no, I'm not going to Indianapolis. And the guys I was going with kept pushing me, and I finally gave in and went.
Was it that somebody, one of the speakers said? Was it the title of a message, a story that was told? What was it?
Well, I don't know what they call it in Indianapolis, the Hoosier Dome, I believe. 85,000 men all packed into the same place that night for the same purpose. And as they called the session to order, I can remember it was raining outside, and as soon as they said, they prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to show up, and lightning rumbled across the top of the dome. The whole place shook, and it was like everybody, you know, wondered if God's, you know, they could feel God's presence. And as the man started speaking that night, I knew that when he finished speaking and he made the altar call, I knew that I needed to go down there and do something that I'd never done before. And that was go down and get right with him.
You know, sometimes it all begins, well, the big changes in life, in us, begin with a decision. Somehow, some way, we're brought to a verdict, a personal verdict, wherein we make a conscious, willful decision. It's not something that was pressed on us. You know, it comes from within, and the result of it is transformational. And in that process, God is at work. And sometimes he'll work in the life of a man who's prejudiced and extremely prejudiced, and change a person like that. But this is just an example. Even as Cheryl talked about how he came home and she didn't even know him. And now the relationship is in a transition. But you know, as we go to break today, I think, what is God doing in your life? You see, sometimes we don't even know it. We don't even recognize it. It's far from our realization that God is actually at work. In fact, could it be that God is at work in some of the most confusing, heartbreaking, torrential times? And in the midst of those times, He's ready to do something that you would have never imagined? Could it be that God is doing something in your life right now? Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guests today, Keith and Cheryl Wise. As we move forward in our show, you're going to be hearing more about what they do and why they're here. But before our break, we're talking about God doing a work of transformation in Keith's life. Keith was very outspoken. You were very outspoken, Keith, about being, you know, a pretty prejudiced man, and growing up in Ohio, and you had a certain way about you. But take us a little further on that, your prejudiced ways. What happened?
Well, as I said, that weekend in the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis, I felt God tell me that He was going to break my racial attitude. And I can remember, I laughed because I said, if you can break my racial attitude, you're a pretty big God. And like I said, I didn't like black people, I didn't like Spanish people, and I severely didn't like Asian people.
Well, I went. Oh, let me stop. Where do you think that came from?
I don't know. I have no idea. I cannot. You know, I grew up around a lot of Spanish kids. I grew up around some black kids. But I think the Asian deal was my dad was in Korea, my brother was in Vietnam, and I think it was just, you know, different things. I felt that those people weren't good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I went back home, and of course Cheryl, she was scared of me. And all my friends, all my buddies that I hung out with, they all thought I was nuts. They all called me a holy roller. And I kind of broke off from them. And we had gone to a very laid-back church, and we started going to a charismatic church. And the first man in the church that befriended me was a black man. And the second man that befriended me was a Spanish guy. And we became really good friends with him. And I kind of laughed because, you know, I'd never had any interaction with people like that before. Well, when our youngest son was born, Cheryl wanted a daughter in the worst way, and she was bound determined. She even had girls' clothes picked out the whole nine yards. And when our second son was born, it was like, he's not a girl.
Oh, yeah.
And 13 years had gone by since he was born till this, well, 11 years had gone by, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she always wanted a girl, and we had tried to foster kids in America. We tried to adopt a daughter in America, and it just never worked out. And after joining the charismatic church, you know, I want to say this, 3 weeks, how long was it after you got saved?
It wasn't long. It was only a few weeks.
Only a couple of weeks that she finally figured out something was different, and she got saved. And we started going to a charismatic church. And in the bulletin one Sunday, there was an advertisement that said, anyone interested in international adoption, call this phone number. And the first thing she says, look at this.
This is our answer. This could be it.
And I said, just stop. I said, we need to play this a little different this time. I said, if God really wants us to do this, we need to sit down and pray and ask God to give us a sign that this is what he wants us to do. Not what we want to do, but what he wants mm-hmm. us to do. That Sunday night, we went to a small group. And the man leading the small group, I can remember, he was all frustrated. He kept rubbing his hands together, and he was shaking his head, and everybody said, what's wrong? And he said, I had this program all set up for tonight. And he said, every time I'd work on this program, God would say, no, I want you to do something different. I want you to do this. And he said, I finally said, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he said, tonight we're going to talk about being adopted. And we're going to talk about being adopted like a little girl taken from a foreign land, brought to a little house here in Ridgeville Corners, Ohio, and given the same birth rights as her brothers. And I mean, this guy nailed it so hard on the head. Cheryl got up and ran out of the room crying, and I'm sitting there, and everybody's staring at me wanting to know what's going on. And I said, well, we've been praying about adopting from China, and I mean, the word was right on. So we knew that this was what we were supposed to do. It took us from the day we signed the paperwork to the time we picked our daughter Sarah up in southern China, 9 months exactly, just like she was born to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we saw so many things with her birth date lined up with this, and the day that she was born was the day the lady that did our home study signed our home study papers.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything just lined up. We knew that she was our daughter. And one night I was sleeping, and I had a dream. And I was laying in this little bassinet. And I could hear, I could smell this smell. It was just as visual could be. I could hear the sounds, and I could hear the people around me talking, but I couldn't understand what they were saying. And I remember the dream very vividly. And when somebody came up to my bed, they stuck a bottle in my mouth and propped it up, and they walked away. And I can remember what that lady looked like. And when we went to pick up our daughter in 1996, we got there, and she was severely ill. She was 7 months old, weighed 8.5 pounds, and I didn't think we'd get her home. And when I walked into the orphanage that day, I remember the smell. I'd been there. I'd been in a dream. God showed me what it was like there. And I can remember taking her over in the corner, and I yelled at God. I said, what are you doing? Why did you send us here for this? You know, we spent everything we had to adopt this little girl, and now we're not even going to get her home. What are you doing? And God said, just take her and go. I'll take care of the details. And if you don't think I can do it, remember what you looked like when I found you. And 1 month later, we saw a total miracle in that little girl's life, and nobody would believe it was the same child we brought home.
Hmm.
Today, she's a 15-year-old. She's beautiful.
Beautiful
she's
girl.
A beautiful lady. Yes. And I tell her she can't date till she's 25. Because, but God was real. I mean, I still think back to the dream I dreamt and not being able to figure it out until we got to the orphanage. And it's like, this was the place. But the lady that stuck the bottle in my mouth, I didn't realize for the longest time. I can remember what she looked like. And there were seven couples in our group. All the babies were sick, but Sarah was the worst. We walked down the steps, and we got on the bus. And as soon as we got on the bus, this horde of people came up, and they were looking in the windows because they wanted to see the babies. And this lady walked up. See if I can hold this together. Mm-hmm. This lady walked up, and she went from every seat in the bus looking at all the babies, and she finally came to us. And she looked at Sarah, and she stood there, and she stared for the longest time. And she lost it. She just started bawling, and she ran away. And it was the same lady I can remember in that dream. The same lady that put the bottle in her mouth.
You know, Keith and Cheryl, you know, as we talk about these things, I mean, they touch a core in us that we can live days and not have that cord touched, and it sends vibrations of sound through us that are extremely moving and touching.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the beginning, wasn't it?
It was.
There was more to come. And I think as we talk and you share, perhaps there is hope around the corner from someone that's listening today, because it might touch them as well. But God is into the details, like you said. And take us further. What went on after that? So you bring Sarah home. Now we know she's healthy. Now you say she's 15, so that mm-hmm. gives us a bit of a timeline now. That was 15 years ago when this happened. Mm-hmm. What happened in 15 years of your life since then? You mentioned that your sons are 29 and about 32 now, mm-hmm. and there's a gap now. There's a 15-year-old, but it's a big question mark, you see, I have in my head. I want to know what mm-hmm. took place in the time from then till now.
Well, Keith was bound determined he was going to find a way to go back to China to help children. I wasn't quite as eager because I had waited so long for that baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I just told him, I support you, and if you want to go, you can go, because I didn't have that same feeling, that same calling at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But what we didn't know in that waiting time was there was more children for us that the Lord was going to send. And in that time, we adopted twins in 1999, and that was a little bit of a process too, and things we said we wouldn't do and how the Lord changed that around and said, I'm the one in control. And he proved it in little details, but minor details in our mind, of saying we were not going to choose our children off the internet, because you can search for children that's available for adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
And we also said we would not choose children with parents. And we didn't know at the time, but we had already done the paperwork and did all the signing, and the girls were ours before we found out they had parents. Mm. And so that took us a step back, but in a good way, to know that God was in control of all these steps that we were doing to adopt these girls. And the twins have osteogenesis imperfecta. That's a really big name for such small children, small people. It's called the brittle bones disease. And just opened the door for us in knowing they were being taken care of.
Tell us a little bit more about the brittle bones disease.
When we talked about, when we asked about them with the agency, about the mm-hmm. you know, we wanted to know more about the twins, and the lady at the agency said, until you understand more about osteogenesis imperfecta, don't call back. And she hung up. And what the deal was, that a lot of people had seen the twins, they were very interested in them, they wanted to know about them, but as soon as they would hear osteogenesis imperfecta and they had a condition, they'd hang up. And here was the agency wasting all this time on these phone calls.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we began to do some research. Actually, Cheryl began to do some research on what was going on, and we found some families back in our area. We never heard of the condition before, had no idea what it meant. So we looked up. She was on the internet looking up. She was reading books. She was talking to people with kids that had the condition. And we received all the paperwork from the agency that had the kids. And we even got a video of the girls. And she took the paperwork to a doctor in our area, and he looked at the paperwork, and he just handed it back to her and said, "Don't touch them." He said, "They'll burden you the rest of their lives." He said, you'll wind up putting them in a nursing home or in a
children's home.
And he said, "Don't do it."
Okay. Now, that's a professional telling you that.
Yeah.
And you're doing research. You're doing the homework. You're doing your homework. You're doing it very thoroughly.
Yeah.
And you're being given professional advice not to go there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as we take our break now, I wonder about times when, not to disregard the words and the counsel of experts and seasoned people, but I think the emphasis for us is really seeking the heart of God.
That's right.
And hearing the voice of God.
Yes.
And seeing what the result is. When we come back, Keith and Cheryl, well, they're just getting started on this part of it. You're going to be amazed when you hear what God does and what God can do through you. Would you stay with us? I don't think you want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arenaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arenaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Keith and Cheryl Wise. And before our break, Keith was telling us about, you know, osteogenesis
imperfecta,
brittle bones disease. And when you found out and you shared with your doctor what the twin girls had in China, as you were considering adopting them, you were given a word to kind of hold off, or maybe stronger than that, don't even go there.
Mm-hmm.
Take us further.
Well, she came home, and I asked her, well, what did he say? And she was madder than a wet hen. I mean, she was so upset. I can't believe what he told me. And I said, well, let's just pray about it. And this was probably on a Friday, Thursday or Friday, and Sunday at church. After church, this lady came up, and she taps me on the shoulder. And this is really wild, because I never met her before, and I never seen her after this day. But she came up and said, God had a word for you. God gave me a word for you. And I said, okay, let me have it. And she says, the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar. And she said, I don't know what that means, but it's for you. And she walked away. And I pondered the thought that, you know, what God said about the twins is not the same as what this doctor said. You know, he was going by textbook. He was going by head knowledge. But God had a different plan for these kids. And we agreed not to listen to what he said, and we adopted them. And we brought them home. And, you know, to move ahead very quickly, they've gone to Shriners in Chicago for years. They were on the Discovery Channel, taped at Shriners over 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. And through that process, their doctor that specializes in OI at Shriners Hospital has been to our house. We haven't even talked about this part yet, but has been to our house in China 3 times and is coming back for his 4th time this fall.
Wow.
And he comes and he pro bonos time. He'll do 25, 30 surgeries for kids while he's there free to teach the Chinese doctors how to do their surgery. But after we brought the twins home, they were home about a year. We went through a lot of difficulties. The kids would break bones.
Every month.
Yeah, Rochelle would break a bone every month. I mean, it was, and they went to Shriners. They had surgery. They had rods put in their legs. They were given medicine. And neither one of them, you know, has broken bones for a long time now. And one day, the orphanage where the girls came from, it was run by a Catholic nun. And she called us on a Sunday afternoon, and she said, hey, I have a 9-year-old girl here that needs a home. And if she's not adopted very quickly and adopted by a foreign family, she's not going to be adopted. And she said, I just really want you guys to pray about bringing this girl into your family. And we prayed about it and brought her home, and her name is Ting. She's now 19 years old and has no physical difficulties at all. She just needed a way out. And like I say, she's 19, and that's where we stopped. And now we put number five into the pocket.
No, let me.
Yeah.
Put some things together here. I'm hearing, you know, you're in Ohio, then you adopt Sarah. That's 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Then the twins, they have brittle bones disease.
Yes.
Then you went and you adopted them. Then you adopted Ting. Who's now 19. Now here's the thing, you did mention, Keith, that the doctor came 3 times to where you are in China, and he's coming back a 4th time. Now, you are in China, so somehow you got from Ohio to China. Now, because it sounds like you're living in China.
Yes.
Now, so what happened in that period of time?
Well, if you remember before, Cheryl said that when we adopted Sarah, I wanted to go back. I wanted to go back to China in the worst way and help the kids. Don't ever tell God you'll do something if you're joking around, because he's going to take you serious and he's going to put you back there. But after Ting was adopted, it was about 2 years, and we felt God open the door for us, and he said, I want you to go back to China. And Cheryl fought tooth and nail, so we did a short-term mission trip, and we were there for 2 weeks, and God just totally spoke to her and said, this is where you need to be, and you need to be here full-time.
2-week short-term mission trip, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we got to be careful. Otherwise, people might get afraid of going on short-term mission trips. No, we're just kidding. No,
yeah.
You be obedient to God. You go be obedient to God and let God move in your life. So what happened? You went on the short-term, Cheryl.
I finally saw the Lord move in my life, because my goal was, I'm going to count how many children I see that needs help, because I was a part of a dental team, and the first day of diagnostic care, you know, I thought, I'm going to count. Well, by the time we finished the second room, I no longer was thinking about counting. I was thinking about let's help the children, let's take care of them, they need so much. And I didn't realize it till I got back to the house that night, or to the hotel, and the Lord just laid it on me. It's not about you, it's about the children. And this is where you need to be. And actually, we're right in the same area where we were.
Now, Cheryl, you're experiencing this change. Yeah, we've talked about Keith. So now God has put a passion in your heart. Mm-hmm. What happened when you communicated that with him, with Keith?
I think he was overjoyed. He couldn't believe it that I could even say it. Because he had had that feeling for so long, feeling maybe he was waiting for me, waiting for the Lord to touch me in this. Mm-hmm. And it came. I think he was just surprised.
What happened after that?
Well, we knew then that we were supposed to go home and start getting ready. Because it was just Cheryl and I and Sarah that went to China. We left the other three girls in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And God said, it's time to get ready. So we went home and we sold everything. We sold our house. We sold our car. We don't own anything in America. Mm-hmm. Everything we owned, we packed into suitcases and we loaded it on an airplane and we moved to China. And I kept saying, okay, God, where do you want us to go? And all he would say was go. And I would say, but where do we go? And he would keep saying, go. Mm-hmm. And that's all he would say. And we wound up in Beijing, south end of Beijing. And God provided us with a really nice apartment. I mean, I had to refurbish the apartment and paint it and everything. But we knew that's where he put us. And then he opened up a door for us. And, I was teaching English in an underground seminary and different things in Beijing. We were working with street kids. We were working with all kinds of different settings and was going really good. And he popped us out of that area, and he moved us down about 40 kilometers to a city called Longfong. And we got involved with another organization, and that extremely went bad. We almost packed up our bags and moved back to the States. We were finished. We're scrubbing our hands and going home. Mm-hmm. And we had some really
tough times.
Yeah, we had some really tough times. We had a lot of issues we had to work through. Because one of the reasons we had to go back home is we no longer had a visa. And the man that owned the compound in where we were living, a compound is like a gated community, has maybe 50 houses in it. But the man that owns that compound is a retired military official. And I can remember we were contemplating, you know, what do we do? Are we going home? Are we staying here? What are we going to do? And we were told we had to leave that community because we weren't
welcome
there anymore. And I went to back out of the driveway. We got in the van. We were going to go do something just to go get our minds off of things. And I backed out of the driveway, and the man that owns the compound was standing right behind the van. I never seen him. I never seen him when we got in the van. I never seen him when I was backing up until he was standing right there beside my driver's side mirror. And he tapped on the window, and I rolled my window down, and he said, "What's going on? I haven't seen you around for a while." He said, "You know, what's up?" And we told him what had happened, and he said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, we're moving back to the States." I said, "Don't have a visa, don't have this, don't have that." And he said, "No problem." He said, "Monday morning, you be at my office." He said, "I'll give you a visa." And he took me to his office, and I got in the back of his Audi A8. We drove downtown. We went upstairs in his office, and we had a private meeting in Chinese. I had no idea what they were saying. Handed the man all my passports. Here it was the man that was in charge of all the visas for Hebei Province. Took all her passports, and he said, "Next week, come back, I'll give you your visa, no problem." I manage this man's factory, and I have an office there, but that's not my job. He's taken care of us ever since that day. For 7 years, we've had a visa under this man. And he said, after he said that, he said, "Don't worry about working with them." He said, "I want you to work with me." And he has covered us. I mean, every time we've had a problem with officials or with police or anything else, he's always been right there to back us up and take care of us. So God provided, you know, he took us out of the storm but brought us back into a better place.
And what about the children?
Well, our ministry is called the Agape Family House. For those of you who don't know, agape means love in the Greek. But our foster home is called the Agape Family Life House. And my wife and I birthed it. And we're the co-director and co-director. We have 29 children in our care. 17 of those children have osteogenesis imperfecta, brittle bones. Most all of the children came to us. They were hopeless. The orphanages do not know what to do with them. They're deemed as worthless because they can't do anything. If they do, they'll break or they'll have some kind of problem. But in the roundabout, I've said, you know, Dr. Smith, I really want to say his name, Dr. Peter Smith from Shriners in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I give him credit because if it wasn't for him, we probably wouldn't have went to China. He made it easy for us. And he's been there for three times. He's coming back his fourth time. He's planning this fall. He's trained, I don't know how many Chinese doctors, how to do surgeries for these kids. You know, they used to stand and scratch their heads or they'd run when you'd say osteogenesis imperfecta. Mm-hmm. And now he has a lot of guys that are doing, he says, these guys do better surgery than I do. Mm-hmm. And he laughs, but he's being honest. Mm-hmm. And the really cool thing was the third time he came last year was there's a bone hospital in Longfong. And Longfong is a small city. It's only 5.5 million people. And it's just
small.
A little place.
Yeah, that's small.
everybody, like 5.5 million people. Yeah, 5.5 million. But there's a little hospital there called the Longfong Bone Hospital, and we made a connection with them by accident. One of the kids got hurt. We took him there, got a cast on, and the director really wanted to know what we were doing, and he wanted to know more about brittle bones. Well, when Peter Smith came in last time, it was the first, I took him to Longfong Hospital to do his tour. And it was the first time Longfong had ever had a foreign doctor in their building. And he taught there for 10 days. And the very first day of the program while he was there, we had a big dinner with all of the officials from the hospital. And the official, Dr. Wu, he was sitting beside me. And we'd become friends. And halfway through dinner, he leaned over and he leaned up against me. And he said, you know, I've watched you guys now for almost a year. And he said, I know what you do, and I know why you're doing what you do. And he said, I want to be a Christian too. And we made arrangements. He went back with Dr. Smith to Shriners in Chicago.
Wow.
And he went back. He's getting ready to build a new hospital. And he went back to see how the American hospitals looked and how they operated. And, you know, he wants to make his new hospital more Western style. And in the process of that, we connected him with a Chinese doctor in Chicago who's an anesthesiologist. He was born just south of Longfong, Dr. Chen Yuan. And Chen Yuan took him to a Chinese church, and that's where he was baptized and born again.
You know, these connections, these God-inspired, mm-hmm. God-developed connections mm-hmm. are such that they, you know, they're redemptive.
Mm-hmm.
Redemptive. You're around children all the time. 17 of them
all the time.
17 of them have brittle bones disease.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from our break, I'd like for you to just tell us a little bit about some of the children. Give us a glimpse of them, their lives, their names, who they are, what their dreams are. And you've been through a lot, the both of you, difficult times. You've seen God's hand pull you through. When we come back, I'd like for you to share with us more about pulling through. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Keith and Cheryl Wise. They are the founders, both of them, of Agape Family Lifehouse. Agape Family Lifehouse. To find out more about Keith and Cheryl, you can visit them on their website at www.agapeflh. That's A-G-A-P-E-F-L-H, agapeflh.org. Tell us about the children.
Well, we have children, like I said, we have 17 children with osteogenesis imperfecta. We have children with missing limbs, spina bifida, scoliosis. We have some that have been in through abusive issues, and we brought them all in. Each one of them has a story. Each one of them has a miracle in their background. A year ago, we had a young lady come to us from way up in the northwest corner of China, and she has brittle bones, 19 years old. Both of her tibias, her lower leg bones, almost made a U-turn, turned clear around where her heels lined up with her calves. And one of the doctors at the hospital did surgery for her, and she came to our house for physical therapy. And at 19 years old, we watched the young lady walk for the first time in her life, which, you know, we think a lot of times what we do is very strenuous. But when we see something like that, it makes it all worthwhile. Our adoption we just finished, the young lady's name is Lydia. She's 4.5 years old. We've had her since she was 2.5 months old. They brought her to us from the orphanage. We were asked if we would take her. When she came to our house, she was white as a bed sheet. She had a broken arm, cast on the arm. She would not eat. And I can remember there was a little note with her that came from the orphanage, and we could read it because it was in Chinese. And our IE or our nanny, she read it, and she cried, and she said, the note says that if she doesn't survive, and if she dies, it's not your fault, to take the pressure off of us with the officials. And my wife and I, when we first saw her, we cringed, you know, because we didn't know what we were in for. We didn't know she'd make it. She was like Sarah. We didn't know she'd pull through. Well, Lydia's now 4.5.
And going strong.
Everybody that sees her, everybody, especially people that understand osteogenesis imperfecta, they can't believe she has brittle bones. Yeah. Because she runs, she bounces off the wall. I mean, she's a energy-packed little girl.
She sounds precocious.
Yeah. That's just a couple, you know, and besides that, you'll see on the website when a lot of these kids, we can school them, we can give them medicine, we can do surgery for them, but when they hit 18 years old, they're in society. They're no longer, nobody takes care of them. They have no place to go. So we have a bakery where we train the older kids how to have a skill.
Tell us about the bakery.
The bakery helps these children to become independent, to be able to do what everybody else does. Learn how to live on your own, wash your own clothes, make your own food. The independence is the first thing.
Describe for us, you know, somebody might be thinking, okay, well, you go to the oven and you put something, you make batter and you make a dough and you know... What does this bakery look like, and how does it function? I mean, are the children tall enough to reach the average countertop? Are they strong enough to grab a knife and cut something up on a cutting board?
The Bible says each one of us have a gift and each one of us has a talent. Mm-hmm. And when the bakery works, all the children work together. I don't want to call them children, actually. I want to call them young adults.
Young adults. Yes,
let's get this straight. They have to be 18 years old to work in the bakery. Mm-hmm. But one may be able to run the mixer where the other one's able to do the frosting, where another one's... We have a girl with severe cerebral palsy. And, I mean, she can't even move her own wheelchair around. But she answers the phone. She does the computer work. She takes care of the books. You know, that's her part.
Yeah.
You know, one puts the flour and everything in the mixer and mixes it up. Another one scoops it out, puts it on the pans and puts it in the oven. Each one of them has their own job, and they all work together to accomplish what they're doing.
Now, they're not experimenting with food, right? This mm-mm. food, the food that you're producing, the products that you're producing, are market quality
foods. Oh, yeah,
foods,
we yes. sell it. We
Aren't
sell
they?
It to the foreign
yes.
community in Beijing.
I teach them how to make carrot cake, apple pie, breads, cinnamon rolls, all recipes from home. And then what we do is go into international schools and into the expat area and sell our products. So they're learning not only to bake, but also to work with the public. And
they're learning a life skill.
The life skill of yeah. of a skill to have a job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, to see that happening, I mean, that... Like you said, it really prepares them, not only in terms of being able to do something, but socially in mm-hmm. interacting mm-hmm. With others and working as a team. And it's quite a remarkable thing to behold, and then to see the quality of products that are being produced that people would actually order mm-hmm. and pay for it mm-hmm. and buy in bulk. Yes. What other things do they make?
We make a full line of sausage products, bratwurst, hot dogs, corn dogs, breakfast sausage, bulk sausage, and we sell that all to the foreign community because there's one other guy in Beijing that makes sausage, and it's too expensive and it's not that great. So we decided we were going to take a shot at competing mm-hmm. with him, and everybody loves our sausage. When we named the bakery, I prayed about what the bakery was going to be called, and God told me, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So we named the bakery the bread of life. Mm. And the sausage products all got the name Big Daddy's Dogs because everybody calls me Dad. And I helped him learn how to bake them. And I guess I must be big enough. They said Big Daddy. So.
Somebody says, hey, I want to find out more about Keith and Cheryl Wise. I want to find out more about Agape Family House. How can they find out more about the children? Where do they go for that?
If they go on the Agape website, www.agapeflh.org, all the kids' pictures are on there. Their bios are on there. We'll soon have a new DVD on there that really does a good job of explaining what we do.
Yeah, we got to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, let's give a parting shot. Someone's facing a rough time right now. What would you say?
I had an opportunity a while back with a lady that we knew that got very sick in Beijing, and her husband actually said she was dealt a death sentence. And it's the same thing these kids have been dealt. You know, they're foreign, they're orphans, they're handicapped, they're seen in the public eye as worthless. They've been dealt a death sentence. But Jesus said, I didn't come to bring death, I came to bring life, and I came to bring it more abundantly. You know, these kids, if you look at them and you say, what is your problem? They don't have a problem. Mm-hmm. They don't see themselves as having a problem because they feel that they're uniquely made in God's eyes. Everyone is.
And they surely are.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you.
That's right.
As you listen to our show today. The Lord's hand of grace and blessing is upon you. In the next few weeks, you're going to hear more stories from people like Cheryl and Keith. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Keith and Cheryl Wise. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you.
The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.